and you will know and feel God's love for you. And how often we're called to do that on a regular basis, to really learn what love is. We're not good at it. God has to invade our lives so we could express it well and learn how to give and receive love. Someone said, tell me who you love, and I'll tell you who you are. That's something worth putting in your Bible, kind of a diagnostic question. Tell me who you love, and I'll tell you who you are. And sometimes our response is, let's see, I love myself. I love the Lord. That might be enough to fit on the other part of one hand. But God would have us expand who we love because He has a tremendous width and height and depth to His love. I'm a part of an Alliance Pastors group that meets monthly. And this past week we met with a fellow named Dr. Bruce Fowler. He's a Christian counselor from Greensburg. He's a referral counselor for Focus on the Family. So if somebody calls up that ministry, Focus on the Family, and says, you know, I need some direction in my life about whatever, they'll say, well, call Dr. Fowler. And so he spoke on spiritual and mental health, and he made this statement that I thought was real powerful and attention-getting for me. He said, most people who go to church don't feel that God loves them. They just don't feel God's love for them personally. It doesn't impact them on the level of their emotions. And hopefully through Scripture and our experience with Him this morning and the rest of the day, we as Kevin sang, let the King capture your heart with His great love for you. Years ago, Bill Bright, who was president of Campus Crusade and since gone to be with the Lord, said that our life is like responding to four spiritual laws. And if we trust Christ, it's like getting on a train or being a part of a train. And he said the engine of the train is the facts of God's Word. This is the engine, how God shows us His heart through the gospel, the engine. And then secondly comes our faith. So let the microphone represent our faith. We put the faith in the Word of God. And then he said the caboose is our feelings. Okay, and our feelings are to be connected to our faith, connected to the Word. But one of the points of that illustration you might miss is this. We all have a caboose, okay? And that's not what you're sitting on right now, okay? We all have a caboose, and it is our feelings. It is getting our emotions matched to the reality of what God says about Himself, about people, about you and I. And to say, Lord, if I don't feel you love me, or if it doesn't feel like God loves me, then I'm going to have a hard time expressing any passion toward God Himself. If you have a chance to get online, I just put it in a plug for Passion Ministries. And Shelley Prindle wrote a poem called The Box. It has to do with God's love being bigger than maybe our present experience of Him. But to let His love impact my emotions, if it does not, I will have a hard time giving my emotions back to God. And not only that, I will have a hard time being connected to anybody else in some kind of significant emotional way. I just won't have it in me unless I would feel at the level of the caboose here that God loves me. And so to let the Lord convince us of that on a regular basis and to have our emotions and actions follow our faith and the truth of God's Word. I used an illustration many times, but I like it. Cal Ripken, the baseball player, used to tell his son, 5-year-old son at the time, something every night before the little fellow would go to sleep. And he would say, just remember, I love you all the time, no matter what. Okay, does God tell us that through Jesus? Right at this very moment? That a good way to end the day or begin the day. Just remember, you're going out there on Monday, I love you all the time, no matter what. And see how that impacts our trust of God, our obedience to God. It's going to add some really significant fuel to those things. And so to let God love us, He so loved you, He gave you His one and only Son. and going over some things that would be helpful to you from the Bible and impact you at the level of your emotions. Before we look at the screen here, I did want to look at 1 Corinthians 13 just by putting Jesus' name where it says love, because He came to exemplify the Father's heart toward people. You may have heard it read before. Jesus never fails. Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. Jesus is not rude. He is not self-seeking. Jesus is not easily angered. Jesus keeps no record of wrongs because of His shed blood on the cross. Jesus always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. It doesn't fit the passage perfectly, but the Lord and who He is really is the foundation of the passage. Well, let's look at some scripture and some things that are true about love that might help us. And I'd like it to help your relationship with God and your relationship with all people, key people in your life, close people, even enemies, as the video pointed out. Interesting, it started off with, what did Jesus say about love? Love your enemies. I don't know why the video had the heart start with the hardest one there. But these are things that are true about love that the Lord put in His Word. Love is best known in Jesus, His person. That's what influenced that prisoner. He started praying for the guy who's giving him a rough time. Who could pull that off but the Lord Himself? And so God helps us. And again, this is applicable to any relationship you're in, not just for couples. Couples in the church here is only about half the folks are couples. The other half are not couples. So any relationship you have at work, brother and sister in Christ, whatever. Love is best known in the person of Jesus. Every wedding that I do, which hopefully is instructive to other relationships too, as the bride and groom stand there, I say, it takes three to make a great marriage. It takes a man, it takes a woman, and it takes the Lord. And I say that not just to sound religious, I say that because every good thing about love that they're going to express comes from God. Commitment, that comes from God. He helps us know how to be committed. Faithfulness, that comes from the Lord. Intimacy, God can teach us how to be open when we don't know how. Even physical blessing and closeness, that comes from the Lord too. He invented that. So I want the couple to know that their marriage will flourish if they have Christ as the source of all their commitment to one another there. And again, that's true if you have a friendship or you're trying to relate to your parents in a different manner. Love is best known in Jesus. 1 John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down His life for us. So you lay down your life. He did that for us at the cross. We lay down our life back to Him and say, Lord, I'm glad to be yours. Then we lay down our life for one another. If I said, I love my wife Regina and my two sons, and we have a great little unit over here, us four no more shut the door, you'd think, how hard is that? Those three people are very pleasant. How can you not love them? But to say, okay, how am I going to love like Jesus loved to the people that I come across in my life? If I do that, I will have a healthier relationship with my closer friends. See, in America it says, if you meet the right guy or gal, then everything else will be hunky-dory. But in the Bible, God makes you the right person. God makes you the right person. And then you're able to reach out in a healthy manner. Love is best known in Jesus. He does that for us. Love is better than faith and hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13. I shared a couple weeks ago in our life, and for Fred Azevedo, this was his experience just this morning. Faith and hope were a part of his life. Faith came into the room and said, Fred maybe said, you know, Faith, thank you. You brought me this far, but I don't need you anymore. I'm going home. Hope was a part of his life. Hoped in Christ. Hope, thank you very much, but now I'm going to be with Christ. Goodbye, hope. But love stayed with him. He loved Christ, and now he's loving Christ forever and ever. And that would be a gift that God would give us. So remember, in your life, love is a lot better than faith and hope. Love is better than knowledge. Knowledge is a wonderful thing. 2 Corinthians 8:1 says, we all possess knowledge, but love builds up. And we're to know love that surpasses knowledge. That's just to put knowledge in its place. Knowledge is important. But unless what I know is helping others and building them up, what good is that knowledge? There's plenty of knowledgeable people who, you know, just aren't really blessing people around them. And interesting in that passage too, 2 Corinthians 8, it says, the man who thinks he knows doesn't know as he ought to know. So you and I as Christians, the worst thing we could do is stand in front of somebody and say, we understand love and we know all about love perfectly well. Just ask me. The resident expert in love. If we ever come off like that, the world has the right to say, why would I go for that baloney? Unless we say, hey, whatever knowledge I have of love, that's a gift from God. Well, I am so grateful for the cross, but I don't understand the cross. That God Almighty should die for you and I. I'm in awe of that. He changes my life. There's a measure to which when this fella, interesting, in the prison, he started praying for this guy, this guard. It was a life changer for him, for the other prisoners too. So it's in Jesus, better than faith and hope, better than knowledge. It covers a multitude of sins. Often we say this, we make an excuse. I can't love myself, I can't love some other people because there's sin. See that sin over there? I can't love because of that sin. Is that what the Lord said when he died on the cross? He just didn't look at, you know, our 8 dozen big sins. He looked at the whole world. And he said, I'm coming anyway. I give my life anyway. We should never let the sin of another person excuse us from being unloving. I just can't love that person because they... so many bad things about him. You know, you'll have to be patient with me as I learn to love him. We understand that a hurting human heart's going to have a hard time loving. But God's love says, I'm bigger than that sin. That's for sure. In your own life or in somebody else's life, I mean, some of you have testimonies. You've been through virtual hell and back on earth. And God has been bigger than what's been done to you. Or maybe what, you know, you've experienced in people around you. And that's to the Lord's credit. And thankfully, he keeps healing you up. Love is greater than all spiritual gifts. That's so apparent. Better than teaching, preaching, missions, whatever. God's love is unconditional, unselfish, sacrificial, and on purpose. All those things. It lasts forever. And we can always count on it. You know, we have a foundation to rest upon and to grow in. And in my own life, I get a short testimony at the first service. I the amount of love that God has poured into my life and the amount I've poured out, it's like he's poured in 100 gallons, and I've poured out about 8 glassfuls. They're so. When you think about how he has touched us through his son, we could afford to be a lot more loving. You know, I've never met a person who said, I think I've loved too much. It was a big mistake. Well, you love with wisdom, and you love with some truth. But nobody's ever given a testimony at the altar here. I repent because I've loved too much. No, you come and say, I'm clueless. I barely know how to love. But the Lord's love lasts forever. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord loves us with an everlasting love. Love is like being with Jesus. There's a story about this missionary. He wanted to reach these people who live in a garbage dump. So actually, he went to live in the garbage dump. And he would sneak out, get the food and clothing he needed, come back and bless the people. And when they saw that, they said, "We heard about Jesus. You must be a believer in him because of the way you're acting." So love is like being with Jesus, the impact he makes on our lives. So love in action, which we want to move quickly toward. This is from the Five Love Languages book, which I recommend. And a couple classes have done it already. But this is how you can express love in a concrete manner. The love of Christ passed on to whoever is around you. Again, family, co-workers, church folk, lost people, or you know, the one or two romantic people in your history, and perhaps hopefully your loved ones at home at this time. You express it in time. God always has time for us. You know, in fact, he said, "I'd like to spend eternity with you." How's that? That's tremendous. Time. Give people time. How can you love other Christians if you're not around them? How can you love the lost guy if you're not around him? Hey, give him some time. Don't say, "I'm going to every church meeting there is." Because that, you know. Time. Time with the Lord. Speak to him. Honor him as we go. Talk. Communicate. That's a prayer thing. Sharing your heart. Learning how to do that. That's difficult for guys to do a lot. I'd rather, you know, let me wash the little car. Talk for an hour with my family. You know, I have to have a bowl of ice cream with me to be able to do that. Talk. Touch. A blessing from God. God made us physical beings. If we do it in a holy manner, it'll counteract the unholy touch that goes on in the culture. See? Do it in a holy manner. It's a testimony against the unholy touch in the culture. If you're like most people, fairly reserved with touch, you don't know how to appropriately touch, do the handshake, do the smile and the nod. Nonverbals are huge, by the way. We communicate, 70% of what we're trying to get across by nonverbals. And if you don't know how to touch appropriately, say, "Here's my brother in Christ or sister in Christ. And how you doing, Mary?" Mary thinks, "Wow, that was a blessing." Thoughtful gifts. I will give of my heart something that will bless the other person. Thoughtful actions. How can I serve this person that I am before? You know, I mean, God just opens the door for the person of Christ to come flooding through. It's a pretty exciting life when you're on a mission with these things and to kind of learn what is best in ministry to other people. If people aren't convinced of love by simply your talk, well, then don't just sit there and say, "I love you, I love you." In my family life, I know some of them, if I say, "I love you," it actually irritates them. So I don't express my love toward them with talk. I do something that will help them. Get a gift or serve. Also, there's if they say they love me, that's one of the ways that I feel encouraged. I put value on words, the word of God, and communication. But if they say, "You look good in that tie," I'm like, "Oh man, I feel loved all day now." Talk, thoughtful actions. If I know there's one particular person in my family, if I do things on their behalf, here, let me get this garbage. Let me take care of this lawn. Let me take care of the gas in the tank. They are like, whoo. They get all romantic looking, you know. Just called It's because of the thoughtful actions that I am doing. But all of this has to do with Jesus and His invention and expression of love. And if you say, I don't know if I can do that, you're right. We all have limitations. But if my thought is, if the Lord can bring Lazarus from the dead, He can put love back in your heart. Okay. You say, I just don't have it. God knows. He can bring it out of your soul. And in the last illustration, what Jesus actually does to us in our relationship with Him, He wants a marriage commitment between Him and us, that closeness, that family tie that we all long for, and only He can provide permanently for us. He looks at us and He says, I take you, forsaking all others. He's not interested in just being the king of the hill. He's out for the salvation of men, for people. I take you, forsaking all others, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. He knows us at our worst. He loves us in sickness and in health. When we're sick, that doesn't mean God loves us less. He moves near in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, as long as the Lord reigns, which is forever. And then He invites us to say it back to Him. Jesus, I take you, forsaking all others. Now, I can't make my job or my spouse or my children God in my life. Oh, the source of my identity, my security comes from job, spouse, and children. Wow. I'm in for a rocky road. Only God can be the source of our life, source of our love. And we say back to Jesus, Lord, I take you, forsaking all others. I love better because I love you first. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish forever. And that is a noble, honorable, strong, and dare I say it, emotional thing. Don't be afraid to get emotional about the Lord. Get emotional about everything else. What about Him? He gave you the emotions. Just bow your head and follow Him. If you've never received Him, maybe pray a short prayer like this fellow in the story said. The only thing he could say was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He knew he needed love. And Jesus said, this guy went home 100% right with God. That could be your story. But the great love of Christ, might we feel loved by God, and might people around us say, you know what, I actually feel loved by these Christians. I don't know if they're out to lunch or whatever, but I sure do feel loved by them. And might Jesus work through you in that manner. Let's pray together. Lord, bless your word to us that we could see you, Jesus, and see our need. And Father, I know in a group here in church that we prayed beforehand, probably half of us might have come to church saying, that love thing, I'm still scratching my head. I have a lot of dots. Don't have enough experience of it. But be that source for us that you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.